Today's daf in Masechet Eruvin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Zayin, and we got up to last night. We talked about the Mishnah, about the wall that's between the two Chatzeros, and we talked about Rabbi Yochanan, who said that if the top of the wall between the two Chatzeros is a Mokum Ptur, so then there's no problem, and we attributed that to Rabbi Yochanan Shita, about a mokum tour between Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim. And he said it's mutter for people in both sides to use it as long as they don't pass to each other. So the same thing should be true about a wall between two chatzeros where the top of the wall was a mokum tour, meaning that even though it was 10 tvachim, it was less than 4 tvachim wide. And therefore, he said in that case, there's no problem of each one of them using them, carrying up to it, taking down from it. The same exact thing as if those two Rishuyos that are the Rabbanans over here, the two Rishuyos which are the Chatzeros, we treat them as if they would be the two Rishuyos that are one which is a Rabbi and one which is a Yochid, which seems quite reasonable. As a matter of fact, before, nobody really argued about that because essentially we learned the same thing about the Askufa. Remember the threshold that was between the two Rishuyos? And that was exactly the same as the Amud kind of thing. So as a matter of fact, the Gemara is concerned with, why are we saying that this is Rabbi Yochanan? I thought everybody agrees to this idea, that if you have like a little threshold right in front of your door, so then the din is that both in Rishus HaRabim can use that, and Rishus HaYochid can use it as long as you don't transfer. And nobody argued with that. So why all of a sudden are we saying it's Dafka Rabbi Yochanan? This is quite disturbing, says the Gemara. It's also disturbing when we only get half of Gabi's head. You have to worry that anything happened to the rest. Okay. Good. Baruch Hashem. I mean, we do have Dr. Barry with us just to make sure everything is okay. All right. So now the question that the Gemara wants to know is, I thought everyone agrees with it. You're trying to tell me that what? That when Rav argued, he didn't agree with what Rav Dimi said, that it's a Rishus that is kosher for both of them, asks the Gemara, Rav less laid the Rav Dimi, so that we're at basically one quarter of the way down. Omer Rav Yochanan, if you're talking about Rav Dimi, it's true, but there it's Rishuyas D'oraita. Rishuyas D'oraita, we're not concerned, this is a little counterintuitive, but we've seen this elsewhere, that there's times when we're not as careful about Rishus D'oraita as we are about Rishus D'rabbanan. Because we know that people are not going to jump to the wrong conclusions about ignoring the difference between a house and a Rishus HaRabim if you've got a threshold between them. But we are concerned that where you have two Chatzeros, that is like an invention D'rabbanan, that they should be considered to be two separate Rishuyas, right? And like, even if there had been a door between them or something, they could have been considered to be one Chatzer. So, I mean, if people over there are going to say, all right, like if I can already carry up to the top of the wall, I mean, why can't I transfer to the other Chatzer? And so on. So because of that, Rav held that this is one of those cases where the Rabbanan are also chizuk l'divrayim yoter mishal Torah. Now, sometimes in order to be mekayim a gezeirah d'rabbanan, you have to be very machmer on it because otherwise everything is just going to, these subtle distinctions are more easily erased in people's minds than really major distinctions like the difference between Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYochid. So therefore, says the Gemara, B'Rishu is the Orai, say yes, but Achmar Eskin and B'Rishu is the Rabbanan, the Chachamim Asu Chizit the Divrayim, Yoter Mishel Torah, another very important munach, this time it's an actual klal in all across Shas. Omar Rabba Baravuna, Omar of Nachman. How about an interesting case like this, where you have an uneven distance between the top of the wall and the two sides? We didn't talk about that. We assumed that there's a ground level, which is common to both of the chatzerot, and then you have a wall between the two chatzerot. But what if the ground level is not common? In other words, what if you've got one chatzer that is raised above the other chatzer? So for one of the chatzerot to get to the top of the wall, whoa, that's like 10 tefachim away. To the other chatzer, it may even be even with the edge, or it may be much closer to the ground level of the chatzer, assuming that the two are not actually the same. So what would be the din over there? Oh, so Tainad, Reb Nachman, that if on one side it's 10 tefachim high, and then the other side, it's for all intents and purposes straight with the ground, which means it's less than 10 tefachim high at any point, either literally straight or it's a 9 tefachim high, it would be the same thing. Then there's another interesting halakha that kicks in. And that is that automatically, irregardless of who owns the area, But regardless of that, automatically the people that are within the easy usage in the area between their two chatzeros, so even if they own it together, they're given the usage vis-a-vis this din of the Rishuyos, Koveya Rishuyos Rabbanan. And in that case, the people that have an easy time of using it, so like for me, it's basically a shelf right at the edge. It's very convenient. I put down my bottle of soda on it. You guys, I mean, how are you going to get up there? What, are you going to bring a ladder when you want to use it? I mean, so we don't allow the other people to use it, but we do allow the people that are within convenient range of it. They can use it as if it's entirely their own, and there's a mechitza between them and the other chotzer. So we look at it as an extension of their chotzer. And that's called Mishum Dahavile Lezet Tashmisho Benachat Ulezet Tashmisho Bikasheh. And that is the rule. We give it B'Tashmisho B'Nachat. There's also another interesting halacha, which is the exact opposite case, which Rav Shizbi quotes from Nachman, and it seems to be redundant because, I mean, who cares? And this would be the case where you've got a ditch. So if you've got a ditch that's 10 tefachim deep, normally it would be the same thing as a wall that's 10 tefachim high, right? So if you've got a wall that's 10 tefachim high, so we said if it's less than 4 tefachim at the top of the wall, we had Rabbi Yochanan kick in. Same thing should be true over here with the ditch. And in a case where the levels are different, so for one chotzer, it's, whoo, I got to get all the way down there, down on my hands and knees and stick my hand all the way down. Not simple. The other chotzer is not that far removed or may even be level with the chotzer as a whole. Same thing. So we give it to the usage of the people where it's easy to use. And we say the other people shouldn't be using it, and therefore there won't be any problem. Now, why do I need both of those halachas? They seem to be, it's just repetitious. Rav Nachman is saying the same thing, both according to Ravuna and Rav Shizbi. So why are there two separate mamaris? We need to. Because, look, if you're going to talk about a wall, I would say, okay, wall, let's look at it in practical terms. People very often use areas that are, you know, you have to stick their hands, you put stuff on top of your fridge, right? So that's more than 10 tefachim. So, okay, so you keep the kid's cereal on top of the fridge or your matzahs on top of the fridge, whatever. So people will generally use something that is higher. I mean, for me to bend down and stick things underneath the counters, it's, that's not considered to be convenient. So I would think that a choretz be'umka is just not convenient. So we can't call it something that is noach. It's not noach to anybody. So you're saying, okay, but it's a little more noach. So maybe more noach is just relative. And in that case, we don't say lezeh b'nachat v'lezeh b'kasha, because both of them find it inconvenient. If on the other hand, I would have taught, but known the din, the second din about the ditch, I would have said, okay, people will use a ditch because nothing's going to fall. So it's safe, you know. I don't mind putting bottles and things down there. But for me to use the top of a wall where the other side is going to, like, if it falls, it's going to fall, it's going to break. I mean, so over there, maybe I won't use it. So even the people that are closer to it, they're worried about using it since it has basically a chasm on the other side that falls on people's heads. I had this situation between me and a neighbor in the old city, and I put up some plants on the top of the wall thinking, oh, what's going to happen with the plants? And then this wind comes. And I had this old woman, really sweet old lady that was living in the downstairs chotzer, right? And the wind blows this massive plant right into her chotzer. And she looks up and she says, you missed. No, I actually said to her, I missed. She said, what? Oh, darn, I missed. That's what happened. She didn't think it was very funny. But anyway, as you can imagine, since then, I was careful not to use it. Okay, so you think over here it'd be the same thing. I don't want to put stuff on top of it. So maybe it's not considered to be a noach. I mean, it's easy to use, but it's not really used. So therefore, you know, Lamaisa, it could be somewhat relative to the situation. But one we're going to call noach, and the other one we're called kosher. Now, there are, of course, tricks, right? I mean, you're telling me, okay, so theoretically I've got the wall. So let's say we have the same ground level. Now I'm talking about the wall that's between them. What about if I want to make the wall less than 10 tefachim high above the chotzer? So, I mean, I don't have to make the wall lower. I can make the chotzer higher, right? And making the chotzer higher is not as complicated as it looks, because all I have to do is take a little ladder and, you know, a step ladder, like a stool. So I put a stool right next to the wall. Okay, and now it's no longer 10 tefachim. I mean, so would that count? So if you want to be memayit at the height of the wall by making the floor higher, okay, so then If the area that you made less than 10 tefachim high is actually 4 tefachim, so then it's a valid petach. And then you would be allowed to use, because you can get into that wall top, you could use the entire wall. But if not, if it's not 4 tefachim wide, so then it's not considered to be a petach. So then you could only use the area that is right up against the part that's less than 10 tefachim. What, says the Gemara? That makes absolutely no sense. If you're telling me that basically something that is less than 10 tefachim long is not going to be considered to be a petach, which is what you said about in the beginning, so then it doesn't help at all. And why would it help kenegdo? Either ihani miyute, so if it's considered to be a true miyut, so then it's an entry into the top of the wall, so that I should be able to use the entire top of the wall. If it doesn't help, then that means for all intents and purposes, halachically, it's invisible and it shouldn't do anything. So why would I be allowed to use the area that is right up against my little step stool? Om Ravina, no, this part is not talking about a step stool. You're absolutely right. It's talking about an actual reduction in the height of the wall on your side. So that what you did was, is you took out one layer of bricks. So you've got one brick, you've got an area of one brick, which is obviously not four. By the way, the question of four over is Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, whether when we say four, it means four along the length of the wall, or it has to be 4x4, even to be a petach. So in other words, you need to be able to have an area on the stool of 4x4, not just a length of four. Rashi says you don't need 4x4. But anyway, Ravina says, look, you're right. If you're coming to define something as a gateway, it's not a good gateway unless it's four. But if it's not there, and you took the wall away, it's not there. There's no arguing with that. You can't say, logically, it doesn't count. It's simply not present. So you don't have a wall that is 10 in that place. That's what we mean. But of course, you're 100% right. If we're talking about from the bottom, then either it is there or it's not there. On Rav Yechiya, let's imagine a case where you take like a bucket. Now, remember that buckets usually have rims around the edge, right? So you take this bucket, you put it upside down, and it's now right up against that wall. Well, that's also good. It's memayet. And now, assuming, of course, that it made it to less than 10 tefachim. But why is that true? I mean, anything that I could move away on Shabbos should not be considered to be a miut of the wall, because that's a temporary thing. I mean, that doesn't change the height of the wall. So I could always move it. We're talking about you connected it to the ground, meaning you put ground all around it. You put ground around it, I won't be able to move it on Shabbos because I would be moving the ground, and then that's muktzah. So, says Gemara, you're allowed to do that. Didn't we have in the Brisa before? Remember, we had the number of different beautiful cases where you had a case where you put a fig that hadn't ripened. You put it into straw, where the straw was miyuchad to be used for a building project that you're going to be building. And you put it in that straw before Shabbos, or you were cooking some bread, coal-cooked bread, and you leave it buried in the glowing coals, which, of course, you wouldn't have been allowed to move. So now that means it was muktzah. The din is that if there's a little bit that's sticking out of the fig or the bread, and you'd be able to pinch it with your fingers and pull it out, so then that would be tiltum and atzad, and there'd be no problem, because the dirt just falls off. It's not really that you're moving the dirt, so there would be no problem. So why is this different? You put a lot of dirt around the bottom. So lift up the bucket and then the dirt will just fall into the hole. We said that's okay. Now we're talking over here, bucket with a rim. So then the dirt fills up the rim. Then when you pick up the bucket, you pick up the dirt with it. It just doesn't fall off because the rim is going to also hold the dirt in it. So there you can't move it. Says Gemara, we have a case like that also. Who cares? Who cares if it's got ugnayim? Doesn't matter. The Mishnah says we had exactly this case. It was a beautiful case because it was able to address millions of different things altogether. Because, I mean, the question of whether something is in the ground, is it really in the ground? Imagine what's that nogea. That would be nogea, the question of whether it's kilayim, right? If you put it in the ground in this way, into underneath the grapevine. Or if it grew a little bit, would you have to take off truma some maizeris again? Or is it considered to be chofer when it comes to Shabbos? You'd have to worry about that. Or can you put it under the ground, let's say Shemitah? Would it be considered to be planting in Shemitah? All of these issues are interrelated with exactly this question. And it says over there, so let's say you've got a turnip or you've got a radish, and you put it right underneath a geffen. So if, as long as some of those leaves are on top of the ground level. You could just pick the thing up by its leaves. You don't have to worry about Kelayim if it's under the Geffen. You don't have to worry about Meiser because maybe it's going to be planted and it grew. You don't have to be worried about Shemitah. I'm not allowed to put things in the ground in Shemitah. And, of course, what's important to us is this last piece, Nitalim B'Shabbat. So you see over here that as long as I can pick it up by the leaves, it's over here, I can pick it up by the top of the bucket. And there's no question, if the whole thing is underground, how am I not going to move the ground by pulling it up? There's no way for me to avoid that. So that would be the same thing as the Ogenayim. And over here, obviously, it doesn't matter to me. No, we're talking, okay, look, I understand that you could find cases where that's all right, okay? I mean, but it does depend logistically on the case. Over here, we're talking about that you put stuff that was really heavy around the bottom of the bucket, and you were going to need a hoe to move it. So that you can't do on Shabbos, because that would be considered to be chofer. Chofer, you're not to do so. Okay, so that's what he meant. This is a logistical consideration. How do you get a bucket to be something that is permanent? Okay, now, there's a difference when it comes to ladders as well. A sulam ha-mitzri is not considered to be a Pesach to a wall, so it doesn't make the wall less than tefachim. But if you have a sulam, a tzuri, it is. What does that mean? What defines a sulam ha-mitzri? Amidavei Rabbi Yonai, a sulam ha-mitzri is one of these like household ladders, and it doesn't have four rungs on it. So it's those kind of ladders that you just move from place to place all the time. So it's not considered to be kavua. And it's just like there, but unless you were kovea, it's not going to work. Obviously not a problem in the height issue, not in the construction issue. It's just based on the halakha that we started with, which is if it's not a permanent miut in the height of the wall by making the ground higher, so then it doesn't count. So if it's an easily movable ladder, it doesn't count. And why are you telling me that a sulam ha-mitzri doesn't work? So he says, you didn't hear? Ravacha barad amar Rav Amnuna, Omar Rav explained it, because it's lightweight, and it's Rishon Lavi L'Dovash Nitu B'Shabbos, since you're allowed to move it on Shabbos, it's called Dovash Nitu B'Shabbos, because it's not considered to be really part of the setup. So then I don't understand. I mean, I figured that's what you were saying, but I could certainly move a tsuri, a sulam tsuri. Is it mukta? Why would it be mukta? I mean, I can. It's the same thing as a sulam mitzri, isn't it? It's just like a little, it's got an extra rung. I mean, who cares? Or it's made out of wood, and the sulam mitzri is made out of aluminum, you know? Says the Gemara, yes, that's absolutely right. But the difference is how much it weighs. So a household ladder is like a nice, lightweight aluminum ladder, where people move from place to place. You got this heavy thing. You're saying, technically speaking, I could move it. Technically speaking, it's not what we're worried about. I mean, the lady of the house is not going to move this ladder if it's one of these old-fashioned heavy wooden ladders, and that's the sulam ha-mitzri. So therefore, it's kovdo, that's kov-o. Its weight makes it permanent. Rashi takes that kipshutai, that its weight makes it permanent in terms of the logistics. However, some of the other Rishonim Taina, that the kovid would actually make it kavua lagabi the dinim of muktzah, and it would change the halacha of it. But that's not how Rashi learns. Omer Abayit. Now, suppose we've got a kotel that's between the two chatzeros. So we're talking about over here. It's 10 tefachim high and so on. You put a ladder that is 4 tefachim on one side. You put a ladder that is 4 tefachim wide on the other side. And they're not exactly aligned, but they're close. So if there's not a distance of 3 tefachim, which was the shear of lavud, between like where they are positioned on the wall. So if I moved one a little bit over and the other a little bit over, they would be perfectly aligned. So then that's considered to be aligned. So if ein bein zeh lezeh shlosha tefachim, then that's considered to be mamayit, because essentially you have now this is l'gabi that did not have carrying to the top of the wall, but of making an eruv between the two chatzeros. So now this is a classic doorway between two chatzeros, similar to the case that we had before of a city that's got ladders aligned with the walls on both ends. And there, if it's more, however, if it's not really aligned, the two ladders are not aligned, which would mean, how do we define aligned in terms of lavud, of course. So if the shlosha inamamite, but they don't really have to be aligned if you can walk along the top of the wall, and obviously you don't have to be aligned. But what defines the wall as an area that you would be able to walk along? the fact that it's a mokum of arba al arba. In this case, it's obviously four long. How wide is it? See, if the top of the wall is less than four, then it needs to be aligned because people can't walk on like a little ledge and I have circus acrobats. But if once it's arba, avikotel arba, who cares how far it is? You have one ladder on one end on one side and the other ladder on the other end on the other side. And then you walk up like the Kohen Gadol does on Yom Kippur. You walk between the wall, you walk down on the other side. And that's also good. So now feel a muflak tuva. Now, there's other issues that we need to think about, which would be not standard ladders, but let's say like you have a bookshelf, you know? So you build like one shelf on top of another shelf and you put one on top of the other at the bottom of the wall. So now the question is like this. Suppose the bottom shelf really has the correct arba'at tfachim. According to Rashi, it doesn't matter if it's arba'ah or just four tfachim long. Okay. So the bottom part does have four tfachim. And then it starts getting thinner. So it's like one of these bookcases where you're putting the next shelf on, the next shelf is a little bit thinner, and it goes up like that. It's like Naftali has in his house, although Naftali isn't here, so we can't even refer to it. Where are you, Naftali, when we need you? Take a picture. Okay, but anyway, so if you got one of those kind of things, it's fine if the bottom shelf is four tefachim wide. Or it could be the other way around. It could be, let's say, the bottom shelf is not four, but the top shelf, which is the place where you're coming up against the wall, it does have four. It doesn't matter because as long as there's not a distance of three tefachim between the two layers, so then it's looked at as one big block. If it's one big block, then I consider the whole thing to be defined. It doesn't matter by the top or the bottom. So it's ultimately a block that has four. So then, as long as it's one big block, if it's not one big block, then it's a problem. Because then as Rashi says, it's like if the bottom doesn't have four, then it's the top is just floating in midair as far as halacha is concerned, because like it's not connected to the bottom. And then it wouldn't be mamayit because something that's just ba'avir is not mamayit. Furthermore, it's Nachman Rabba Bavua, in a case where you have flying rungs. Now flying rungs, Rashi says, is simply a way of defining the difference between a staircase and a attic ladder. So a staircase doesn't look like it's flying because the back, but the word for the two is the same in the Gemara. If you have an inside staircase, we call that sulam between a lower story and an upper story. But people don't look at it as the same because there's a backing to the step. So it doesn't look like they're stuck in midair and the kids aren't scared to crawl up and so on. But if you've got air between the steps, then, oh my gosh, you know, you've got to get your courage up. And that makes the ladder that comes down from the attic so enticing for kids. And then that's where the ghost lives and so on. But that's because of that air between them. So we call it a ladder that is floating in midair. So, okay. So the shlivotav are porchot. Now, if the shliva ha-tachtona, so that means that you really need to analyze distance between the rungs. So here it's also going to be important for us, how wide is the distance between the rungs? So if the bottom rung is four tefachim long, according to Rashi, or four by four, according to Tosfos, and then it would be mamayit, or even if it doesn't, but the uppermost rung does, and it has four, as long as there's not three tefachim between the different rungs, what you have is essentially a solid one hunk of area that is four by four, and that is going to be mamayit. The Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravua, that furthermore, in a case where you would have a ziz, that is Yodse Minakotel, you got like a shelf where it extends out of the wall. It doesn't come all the way down to the ground. And it's between these two chatzeros, and it is four by four. Now, over here, it says beferish that it has to be four by four. Now, there are other gersos, which we'll talk about tomorrow. And we're looking over here not to the issue of joining the two chatzeres in order to make an Erev, but to the issue of whether I'm allowed to carry from the top down to the bottom or vice versa. So in the case where you actually want to have a area that I can make into one Erev, we got all of the problems that we're going to discuss tomorrow. How far down does it have to go? But in this case, where the issue is, can I take things off of it and put it up on the top? If you put a sulam against that ledge, so then you would be mamayit that part of the wall. But you'd have to put it against the ledge, not next to the ledge. If you put it along the same line as the ledge, then all that you did is you made the ledge wider, but you did not connect that ledge all the way to the ground. Now, in order to get to the practical implications of this and understand all of it, we will wait Bezrat Hashem till tomorrow and move on to our Ohalot, which is suffering from a lot of neglect. And please get the dust off your screen when we go back to Ohalot.